nobody in this room knows what I was going to preach. Nobody. Okay? This means yes. This means, y'all listen. Nobody knew what I was going to preach today. When I came in my office this morning, I already had a message. Glenn, I want you to do something. I just want to bring my keys. We're going to do something. It's just going to take a second. Come, you're going to have to do something for me. Take my key. Go to the office. My office key. This one right here. Go to my office. There's going to be a note here that says God of the Impossible right there. And then there's a brand new one right there on a notepad. I want you to bring both of them out here. I want to show them that I hope you can find. You'll find. Two of them says God of the Impossible. I want y'all to see how God works. See, normally I'd be freaking out about it right now and want to lay down and cry. Because when God does something like this, I'm like, but you know what? In the last 8 weeks, God's done so much. I'm not going to tell you I'm getting used to it, but I'm just like, okay, God, you want to show out again? That's cool with me, man. You just show out. Because when that word was coming forward, there's no way they don't know what I'm going to preach. And see, the good thing is you don't know what was going to happen, and you don't know what I'm getting ready to preach. You notice that I don't have notes, but you can go to Judges chapter 6, okay? Judges chapter 6. God is awesome. My wife's going to shoot me, y'all, because she's panicking right now. Because she don't know if she can find those two. But they're back there. And I'm going to tell you what, if she can't find them, I will bring them in here because I want to show you and prove to you that God is awesome. Because this morning when I came in, he changed it. He didn't change the verses, but he changed the whole thing I was going to preach. So the title of my message was going to be The God of the Impossible, Tearing Down and Building Up. Okay? That's what it was. Now, when I come back in this morning, my wife, y'all, go tell her to come on. I'll fix it later, y'all. Somebody go back there. Somebody go back and tell her, I'm sorry that I repent in Jesus' name and for putting all that pressure on her. But this morning, the Lord spoke to me and said, a firm foundation. And then I started looking at the scripture. So I want you to go to Judges chapter 6. Y'all give her a hand when she comes in so I don't get buried in a little while for putting up with me. Oh, Lord Jesus, she's got it. Baby, I've been repenting. I shouldn't put you on the spot, but you know how I am. I only had what? Oh, okay. You keep the keys and hand me them. Okay. I'll do. Okay, look here. Hey, wait a minute, Glenna. You wasn't in here, so come in and read something for me. I'm going to come to you. I know. She's tripping, y'all. Anybody got a room? Juanita, you here? You still got a room? Juanita ain't here. You can. Oh, she's got to get her. Y'all just saying. I'm going to show you how God sets us up. Read what that says right there.
God of the Impossible, number 8, time to build up and tear down.
Okay. Now, oh, Lord, you brought my other stuff. Okay. What does that say right there?
Time to build up and tear down a firm foundation.
Okay. That's a whole new set of notes there. Okay. The Lord gave me this morning. I just want y'all to see it. I don't need these. That was for y'all. You remember when Jesus prayed over Lazarus in a tomb, and he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm not praying to you because I need to hear. I'm praying for these. I just did that because I want y'all to see what God's doing, okay? Go to verse 23. Y'all, I'm tripping. It's good. Listen to what it says. Are y'all ready? Look at your neighbor and say, are you ready? Verse 23. But the Lord said unto him, may peace be with you. Do not be afraid. What did the Lord just tell us a minute ago? Don't be afraid. You are not going to die. Now, some of you that wasn't here, if you ever watch a message that I've ever preached, go back and watch last week and learn what the word Redoubtable means. Okay? Go back and watch it. And then it goes along. It tells about how God came to Gideon and called him. So now God's telling him, hey, look, I'm going to give you peace. He said, I want my peace to be with you and do not be afraid. What the Lord was doing was laying a foundation. Okay? Gideon was afraid. He was scared. Now the Lord's going to lay this foundation. And how many of you know we got to have a firm foundation, right? Okay, so he's laying his foundation, but then look what happens. So Gideon built an altar there to honor the Lord. He called it, listen, the Lord of Peace. It still stands in Ophrah this day. Ophrah is the territory that belongs to the family line of Abiezer. He built an altar right then. So we don't build altars, and this is what I got this. We don't build altars anymore, so to speak. But it's like the Lord spoke to me, and I wrote it up here in my Bible. Draw a line in the sand. Amen. The Lord was telling Gideon, I'm going to do all these great things, but I got to build a foundation first. There's some things that's got to be built up. There's some things that's got to be tore down. So I'm laying a foundation. And his foundation started off with, I want you to have peace and don't be afraid. What does the church need more than anything in this world today is peace and stop being afraid. The world has tried to scare the church to death. And God's saying, look, man, be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. And so when this come to me about, you know, God was building this foundation and God was setting him up and drawing a line in the sand, some of you have heard this, but years ago I was just frustrated because the church that I was in, they wouldn't ordain me as a pastor because something had happened in my life. And so they wouldn't ordain me as a pastor. I went through all the, jumped through all the hoops and everything, and I wasn't good enough. That's just the truth. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't. I'm glad I wasn't. I don't want to be there anyway. I'm happy where I'm at. But I went to a service, Pensacola, Florida. Some of you know about the revival there. John Kilpatrick, he was going around praying for people, and everybody, there was thousands and thousands of people. You had to get in line at 2:30 in the morning to go to church at 7 o'clock at night. That's revival. So we had waited in line. The service was real long. It was awesome and everything. I sat back and cried like a baby. And when they come to prayer time, everybody would flock up at the front. Lindsay, y'all been, you know what I'm talking about. They flock up at the front, man. They wanted John Kilpatrick or Stephen Hill to pray for them. I did too, but I made up my mind. I ain't chasing no man. I'm not. I'd just soon Bertha pray for me as either one of them or Jared, whoever, any of y'all in here, because I don't go for that. Now, there's an anointing, a different anointing on people's life. I understand that. But I, at that time, I was not chasing a man. So I went back at the back, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, I ain't going to get prayed for tonight, but it's all good. I done got my blessing. And I'm sitting back there, me and Pastor Rick, we way back at the back. John Kilpatrick and them, Stephen Hill, they up at the front praying for people. People's falling out and all this stuff. I'd never had that happen before. I'm getting ready to fall out now if this thing does that again. He was praying for all these people. Way up front, their sanctuary is 3 or 4 times bigger than this, ain't it? So all of a sudden, Pastor Bill said, I'm going to go sit down back here. He said, I'm gonna rest. And so Pastor Bill goes back there. Me and Pastor Rick is still standing there. And I was not a pastor. I was an absolute nobody. I'm a nobody now. I got a title of a pastor, but I'm a nobody without Jesus. So just getting that straight. So anyway, I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, Pastor Bill comes back up after a long time. And he says, he's getting ready to come. And I'm looking. I'm like, he's just way up yonder. It'll take him 3 hours to get back here. Y'all, I'm telling you the truth. John Kilpatrick was walking. He started praying. He did like this. And he looked back. And he started walking and made a beeline right passing all kind of people and people just looking at him, passing all kind of people. And he comes straight to Pastor Bill. Pastor Bill was on my left. Pastor Rick was on my right. And he sat there and he went to pray for Pastor Bill. And the power of God fell so strong that Pastor Bill fell and John Kilpatrick fell. Well, you know what? I didn't say, woo, Pastor Bill got it all. I just said, my goodness, he's all the way back here and I ain't going to get prayed for. They stood John Kilpatrick back up, and he come over there, and I was standing there, and as I was standing there, Tracy, come here for a minute. As I was standing there, I just started crying. He come back and walked in front of me. He did me like, did you just feel that?
Yeah.
That shocked him. That's an anointing of God. Boy, I just popped him, boy. Come out! No, I'm kidding.
Didn't shock me. It shocked you.
Oh, he said it didn't shock me. That's your anointing, boy. Woo! Y'all listen, I was standing there. I was messed up. I've been rejected. They didn't let me preach. The only place I was welcome to preach was in the jails or on the street. Couldn't preach in the church. I wasn't good enough. Okay? John Kilpatrick comes up to me like this, and he looks at me, and he starts talking to me. Well, you know what I do. I start crying like a little baby. And he looks at me, and he starts doing this. He's doing this. And I'm like, what in the world? I ain't got dandruff. I ain't got hair. I mean, what in the world? You can sit down. He looked at me, and he said, I'm knocking these buzzards off of you. He said, all these negative people and all these people. He didn't even know what was going on, but God did. He said, all these negative people that you got in your life telling you you can't because of this. He said, I call, I equip, and I choose, and I send. It ain't got nothing to do with man. Hallelujah. So guess what? He starts to pray for me, and the last thing I remember him saying, God, fill him with your spirit, like we've been praying. And he said, May the clogged up stuff inside release, and may a free flow come forth. That's the last thing I remember. Boom, I hit the floor. I was like, hallelujah. See, Shelly always taught us that when people were slain in the spirit, that really, when you go to get an operation, what do? They put you asleep. They don't keep you awake most of the time during an operation. And when the Lord wants to really operate on you, he'll put you to sleep. So that's how I explain it, okay? So the next day, I'm going all the way around the circle, but the next day we go to the beach. There's 26 of us. All 25 of them was over there getting ready to have a baptismal service. And I'm over here by myself, and I'm like, no more. I kept saying the word, no more, no more. I'm not doing them. So I took and I drew a line in the sand all the way across, and in my scribbly little writing, I wrote no more. And that day, I built an altar. And that day, I said I was not going to let man tell me what I could and couldn't do. That day, I wasn't going to try to get the acceptance of a man. And I still don't want the acceptance of man, you or anybody else. I'm going to get the acceptance of God. And when I get the acceptance of God, he said I have favor with God and man. So I'm having favor with both. And I have favor with both. They, some that don't like me, and that's fine. But I drew a line in the sand. Some of y'all need to draw a line in the sand. Amen. You need a fresh foundation. A new foundation, a firm foundation. Anyway, that's good stuff, whether you like it or not. But anyway, it goes on and it says this. Where am I at? It says, he says, so Gideon built an altar there in honor of the Lord. He called it the Lord of Peace. And it stands out today. Go back down. He says, that same night, the Lord spoke to Gideon and he said, get the second bull from your father's herds. He had already taken one and killed it. He said, get the second one from your father's herd. One is 7 years old. Tear down the altar your father built to honor the god named Baal. There's a false god that they're worshiping. And that's why God said he'd put them there for 7 years. He told them not to worship that false god. Baal was the sun god. Baal was the S-U-N, sun god. We was in Hawaii. I got another story. Hallelujah. I love telling this. We was in Hawaii, and this guy was selling these big old beautiful purple olives with seaweed. And you think it's nasty, but it's really good. So I'm up there talking to him. Glenn and Bobby and Chris are standing there, and they're mingling around. And I'm wanting to try this stuff. And so we're talking to this guy, and I look at him. I said, do you have any good churches right here close that maybe we could go to? We got a free trip to Hawaii, staying and everything. We just had to get our airfare. And I finagled around on that and got them buddy passes for $250. So we flew for $500 to Hawaii. So some of you thinking, he got a lot of money. No, but I'll take anything you want to give. So I'm sitting there talking to that guy, and he said, I don't really know about the churches around here. He said, I worship the sun. And I just smiled real big. I said, dude, you got to be kidding me. I said, I worship the sun too. And he's like, well, when I said that, Glenna, Bobby, and Chris, pew, they take off. They were gone. I said, I worship the sun too. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, you worship the S-U-N. I worship the S-O-N. He created the S-U-N. So there's still people that worship this bell right here in the world today. Now, let me go on. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. My page keeps turning because the Lord's ready to get over there, ain't he? Listen to what it says. He says here, he says, that same night the Lord told him to go and tear down that altar, okay? It says, cut down the pole beside it. The pole is used to worship the female god named Asherah, okay? I am not, because we got kids in here, going to tell you what that god stood for, but I want you to look it up and you go see how perverted and how crazy they were, okay? You think our world's crazy? It's getting close to this, but they were crazy too. Listen to what he said. He said, then build the right kind of altar. Amen. There's a lot of people that don't have the right kind of altar. He says this, build the right kind of altar. Build it to honor the Lord your God. Build it on top of this hill. Then use the wood from Asherah pole or the totem pole you cut down. Sacrifice the second bull as a burnt offering. They had raised up a false god. What was the word a few minutes ago? I am the one true God. He still wants us to serve him as the one true God. Some of you, he just confirmed it to me through that word. I don't even know who gave it. He just confirmed it that there's people in here that are still not serving him as the one true God. Amen. Oh, Lord, that went over like a lead balloon. Look. Just because you ain't got a statue here that's weird and looks funny don't mean you ain't got idols in your life. Y'all need to listen. Oh God, help me. I'm gonna make everybody in here mad. Some of you mothers, some of you fathers, some of you grandparents, you need to listen to me really good, because your kids are your idols. You say they ain't no, yes there is. And listen to me, I know it is hard to give the Lord your children in the way he wants us to give them to him. But I promise you from experience, when you do it, he'll take care of everything. When you put your children up here and you idolize them, you are putting them before God. Now, you're supposed to love your kids and take care of your kids. That's not what I'm saying. He said to serve him above any other thing, period. Some of you, your God is your nice house. Some of you, your God is your fine car. Some of you, your God is your work. Y'all need to listen, because this is a word from the Lord. He's telling you, I will have no other God before me. He's not going to share you with anything. But when you have a firm foundation, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, then he becomes your God, your one true God, and all these other things just line up. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I said this a long time ago, and I'm going to say it again. Now, I believe you need to have a good work ethic. There's a lot of people that don't have a good work ethic. Anybody that's got a business, you say amen. But you can work too much. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I've told you this before. What does it profit you if you spend all your time working, even though it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. You spend all your time working, but you don't even have time to enjoy life, enjoy your family, your kids. You live in a big, fine house. You got a nice car and all this stuff, and they look good when they go to school, and everybody knows my daddy's got money. They'd rather have you love them and be with them. I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm not. Just focus on doing the right thing, building a foundation that ain't gonna have cracks in it. You ain't gonna wake up one day, your child 18 years old, and you don't even know who they are. Now, I will say this, they act extraterrestrial between the age of 13 and 17 or so, 18. Is that the word I wanna use? ET phone home, that's what you wanna call sometimes. Oh, Lord. Dylan, one of these days, they're going to make fun of my English, and I'm going to break red on them. They are out of this world, okay? Let's just put it that way. Sometimes they act like they're out of this world. But I'm just saying, man, you can work so much and do so much that you don't even have time to enjoy what you got. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, that's about 15% of you mad at me now. Build the right kind of altar. And then sacrifice that burnt offering. See, God told Gideon, I want you to have peace. That means he's going to be with him. He said, I don't want you to be afraid. You're not going to die. But he had told him, he said, you're going to wipe out the whole army. He said, you're going to kill all of them. Why didn't God just jump from telling him he's going to kill them all to going and doing it? This is why. Because God was building a foundation. And when God builds a foundation, he wants the credit for every bit of it. He's not going to share his glory with anyone. If God would have took Gideon right then, and Gideon would have got his army together and went out there and they'd have won, then guess who would have got the credit? Gideon. Don't you dare ever give me credit for what's going on in New Vision Ministries. Did you just hear what I said? Don't you dare give me credit. I ain't touching God's glory. Whatever good happens here is from him. You better understand that, because you'll get me in trouble and then I'm going to come bust your chops. You give God the credit and the glory. If I've ever done anything, I said this the other day, man, I felt this in my spirit. I'm spitting everywhere. Hallelujah. Anybody want to come up here? I said this the other day, man. Y'all need to listen to me. If I've ever done anything good to help you or anything else, it was from God. It wasn't me. If I've ever done bad or anything like that, it was from Glenn. It was her fault. She made me mad. You know why I did that? I want y'all to appreciate her more. Her birthday's coming up. Okay. No, listen, man. God wants to get the glory out of your life, but you got to have a firm foundation. Look what happens. He goes on and he says this. He says, so Gideon went and got 10 of his servants. He did just as the Lord had told him. That's another thing we got to do. We got to do just as the Lord told us. Not some of it. Not 98% or 99%. Just as the Lord told him. But he was afraid. Even though God had done showed him all this stuff, he was still afraid of his family. Oh, wow. I had a preacher right there. It just like shocked me. Some of y'all are afraid of your family. You're afraid you tell them to go to New Vision. They're going to think you're a bunch of Fruit Loops. Good. That's what they need to think, because they need some Fruity Pebbles. They need some Fruit Loops in their life. They're already loopy enough. They need some Fruit Jesus loop in their life. He says this. He says, it says that Gideon went and got his servants. He got 10 of them. He did as the Lord had told him to do, but he was still afraid of his family. He was also afraid of the people in the town. So he did everything at night instead of during the day. He was hiding again. Some of you are still hiding. 3 weeks in a row, the Lord spoke to us about hiding. Some of you are still hiding. If you would hurry up and stop hiding, then the Lord would say, okay, let's move on. He was still hiding, and he was still afraid. In the morning, the people in the town got up. They saw that Baal's altar had been torn down. Hallelujah. I wish I could have been there. The Asherah pole beside it had been torn down. It was actually a grove. He tore it down, cut it down, and the second bull had been, listen, sacrificed on the new altar that had been built. Some of you need a new altar. You need to do like I did way back in Pensacola, Florida, and you need to draw a line in the sand and say, no more, devil. No more am I going to fall for your mess. No more am I going to live in this mess. No more am I going to put up with this mess. No more. I'm starting over. God wants to do a new thing. God wants to do a new thing. How many of you would really like for God to do a new thing in your life? If you don't, then you're in the wrong place. You are. I want every single person that comes here to want God to do a new thing in their life, or to come in here that's lost, and then the Holy Ghost gets them and they get saved, and then they want God to do a new thing in their life. I want God to do a new thing in my life, and I've been saved since 1983. Listen, they come out and they see, it says, they asked each other, after they come out and they saw the altar that was built, it said they asked each other, who did this? They saw this god, Baal and Asherah, the totem pole, tore down. The totem pole was cut up, and the wood was used for the sacrifice of the new altar. I love it. They saw that. God said, I'll have no other god before me. You just heard it today. He says, they asked each other, who did this? They looked into the matter. Listen. They carefully looked into the matter. Someone told them Gideon, the son of Joash, did it. The people in the town spoke to Joash. He was the commander. He was over the town. It said they ordered him, bring your son out here. He must die. He has torn down Baal's altar. He has cut down the Asherah pole beside it. We look at our world right now, we see how screwed up it is. I ain't talking about just the world, the church too. And we wonder, how in the world could this happen? Let me tell you something. If you go to Deuteronomy 13, every single person that was worshiping that false god Baal was supposed to be put to death. Y'all going to get this, or I'll stay here for 45 minutes. For 7 years they suffered, and the Amalekites took everything they had for 7 years because they was worshiping another god. They had gotten to the place to where they said, bring your son out. We're going to kill him because he ain't worshiping Baal. They were supposed to kill each other because they was worshiping Baal. And in 7 years, they got to the place to where they quit worshiping God, didn't want to have anything to do with God. All the great things he did, in 7 years, they started worshiping Baal in a totem pole, and you'll go see what it looks like later. What has gone on in our country? They have gone to In God We Trust to removing in God everything. And we are seeing it. It ain't being hidden, swept underneath the rug. We're seeing it. And God is saying to the church, you better serve the one true God, because if you don't, I'm getting ready to fire you up. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up. It is. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up. It's time. Listen to me, church. It's time for you to get his peace, to quit being afraid, and I'll build a new altar and say no more to the stinking devil. And say no more to the stinking devils that surround you. I was speaking with these girls a little while ago, and I told them who you hang around with in the next 6 weeks is who you become. Guess what? Who you hang around the next week, 6 weeks is who you become. Some of you need to cut some people off. Oh, you don't like it? I'm going to tell you the truth. Oh, help me, God. Help me, God. If you got people in your life, now listen to me. Y'all need to listen. I'm being nice. Let me tell you what the Bible says, the B-I-B-L-E says. It says if you have people in your family or people in your life that call themselves a Christian, but they don't live according to the Word of God, they live in all these sins that we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, all them sins, if they live in them, the Bible says that you are not even supposed to eat with them. But instead of, don't look at me like that. That's what the Bible says. You're just like them. Oh, help me, Jesus. You're just like them. You're getting mad at me because I'm preaching the word. They got mad at Gideon because he tore down that false god. Some of you, I'm trying to tear down a false god in your life, and you're peed at me. You're mad at me because I just said that. You're not even supposed to eat with them. Well, preacher, he's my son or daughter, okay? I understand. The Bible says that you study. Oh, golly, boy. I feel like Gideon now. I need to do this at night. The reason God says to do that in his word is because they learn a lesson. Some of you are enabling them so much, they're never going to get out of their sin. Because you accept it and you let them come to the house and you pamper them and pet them and you pet their little friend that they bring with them that you know ain't supposed to be there. It's God's word. Some of you sitting here, I ain't never heard a preacher preach like that. You know why? Because, well, you know why. We got to preach the whole truth. Got to preach the whole truth. It ain't easy. If my daughter had stuff going on, that it'd be hard. No matter what it is. Some of y'all thinking of one thing. Now, there's a bunch of stuff. Some of you, you let your kids go anywhere. At the party at somebody's house, you let them go. You don't know what they're doing. I know what I did at parties. And your kids ain't no different than me. Oh, yes, they are, preacher. They would never. Oh, yes, they will. You did it. Oh, I know what it is. The jeans pass from me to... No, you fell and bumped your head if you don't think they're doing stuff. Okay, I done made the kids mad because they sitting there saying, I ain't never getting to go to a party again. Had them praying for me a little while ago. Now they, well, I'd take that prayer back. We got idols, man. We got idols. We're going to see a move of God here. But those idols have got to go. They got to go in my life. I got to share with the guy how God set me free from anger. Well, he set me half free from anger. No, mine's a righteous indignation. I don't know how to say it, but I get upset, man. Now, it took a lot. But when you push me and push me and push me, then I'm ready to fire back. Because I've said this before, and I'm not trying to be a little jerk, but I'd rather be hit in the mouth than somebody try to punk me down. So I was dealing with some stuff, man. I'd been hurt really, really bad. Really, really bad. And I was dealing with anger issues. I went to sleep one night, man, and I had this dream, and I know it's a God dream because I'll never forget it. Because the dream don't really make sense because half Glenna was in it and she wouldn't do half the stuff that the dream said. But Glenna was driving the little Toyota car that she used to have. And she stopped at a store to use the bathroom. She would never do that. And while she was in the bathroom, police come by. She was parked in the wrong place. She wasn't going to be in there long. And they took her car and towed it off. Well, you know that ain't going to happen in that amount of time. But in the dream, that's what happened. They towed the car off. So Glenna calls me crying, all upset. You know, the car's gone. They towed the car. I said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. She said, they told us we got to go to the master's office. I said, okay, don't worry about it. It's okay. We'll get the car back. $75 for a tow bill. Whatever. It don't matter. You just calm down. She was crying. I can't stand to see her cry. You ever make her cry, you'll see me. You'll see me get angry again. You have to pray for deliverance for me. So I go pick her up, and we go to the manager's office, and when we walk in, she's behind me, and she quit crying, but you can see her eyes are still puffy and everything, and the manager looked at me, and he was very nice, and I'm talking to him, and he's telling me what I got to do. I had to sign a paper and everything. Well, in the back behind him was a police officer. Now, I know we got police officers that come here, and we got people that have police officers in their family. This was a dream, okay? I ain't going to whoop no police officer. But all of a sudden, he spoke up and he said, is that your black Toyota I had towed a little while ago? And I said, well, yes, sir. I said, but it's my wife's. She needs to learn how to park. Okay. I understand. Look, we don't want no problems. We just come to pay the fine, get the car, and leave. He said, well, if it happens again, it's going to be a whole lot worse. Well, by then, she started crying. He done ticked me off. So I looked at that little thing, and I reached my head. Then I said, let me tell you something, buddy. You got a badge on you. You got a gun in your pocket, but I'll beat the crap out of you. I said, let's go outside right now. You make my wife cry? I said, I'll wear your stinking head out. Now, in this dream, I'm doing this, boy. And all of a sudden, y'all, I'm telling him I'll stomp you. And some of y'all look at me like, you can't believe the preacher. So I'm just telling you the truth. You want me to lie to you and tell you that, okay, sure. No, I was peed off. And I woke up in the bed, soaking wet, like, rah, Incredible Hulk, boy. I'm ready to kill somebody. You hurt my wife. And I woke up, and I'm so mad. I'm mad. Somebody been in front of me, you probably got one of them Billy Jack right to the left. No, I'm mad, man. I want y'all to hear my heart. I am so mad, angry. Not at the devil. I was mad at that cop. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you better get this out. This is a root that's deep, and it's been there a long time, and you better get it out. Because my whole life, I was a good person, but I get stupid sometimes. And if you made me mad, well, yeah, that's what happened. And the Lord dealt with me, and I talked to Glenn about it. And she told me about the vehicle was in the dream was like your ministry. Remember that? You remember all this, I know. But in a dream, a vehicle is like your ministry. It represents ministry. And the Lord was going to take my ministry if I didn't deal with this. And I started crying and I begged God. I want to be a man, but I don't want to be that man. You feel me? Somebody come in my house and try to hurt my family. I'm going to do what I got to do to protect them. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to protect my family. But I don't want to be that man where I get angry over stuff like that, to where I'm ready to choke somebody. And I repented. I mean, I repented, crying, repenting, snotting, repenting. And God delivered me. I can still get upset a little bit. I know you don't believe that. I can still get upset a little bit. It takes a lot. But God delivered me. Some of you have areas in your life that you need to be set free from, because you're building on this foundation. Was I saved? Yes, I was saved. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Did I love people? Yes, I did, but there was an area in my life that I was struggling with and really didn't even know. I mean, I always knew I had a little bit of anger problem, but, I mean, who don't blow up and get mad? Oh, some of you thinking, I have never touched this woman in a bad way, have I ever? Now, she slapped me once. No, she ain't never slapped me. She's wanted to slap me a bunch, I'm sure. That wasn't a yes. At home, sometimes I'll ask a question, and she'll say no, or she'll say yes, and I say, is that a heck no? That means like double no. And her heck yes, you know, yeah. And so that's a heck yes, ain't it? So I want you to understand, when I come in here and preach a message like this and the Lord lays something like it, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you, man. He delivered me. Now, there's other things that I'm sure he's going to work on, and he's still working on me. But, guys, listen. Oh, man, I'm going to hurry, okay? Now, when I say hurry, I got some scriptures I want to read. I want you to go to Isaiah, if I can find it right here. My page flipped again. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 28 real quick. Isaiah 28. We're talking about a foundation. And I'll read it. You ain't gotta go to it if you don't have it, but I'm gonna read this right quick. Well, I'll just flip right past it. Isaiah 28. And it says this, verse 16. So the Lord and King speaks. He says, look, I am laying a stone in Zion. It is a stone that has been tested. It is the most important stone for a firm foundation. The one who depends on that stone will never be shaken. That word depends means relies, trust in, supported by. And then go to Matthew 7:24 right quick. You can look them up later. Matthew 7:24. Jesus said this. He said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbors, hate your enemies. But here's what I say. That's a wrong verse. That's a good one, though. 7 says this. What in the world? 7:24. All them are good scriptures, though. So then, everyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a wise man. He builds his house upon the rock. We know that Jesus is the rock. That word means, listen to what this word practice means, habitual action or doing something repeatedly, repeated performance to assure skill. All these things that God is having us to do, read your word, pray and all that, it gives you get up, you get skillful at it. You get skillful at the word of God. You get skillful at using the word of God, your sword. Amen? And it says, he builds his house on the rock. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Flip right on over. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says this. Hallelujah. Are y'all good? Jesus is our foundation. 3:11. It says this. No one can lay any other foundation that has already been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Y'all listen. Some of you, you're saved, but you got all this other stuff that you know you ain't supposed to have. You're building on the wrong foundation. And it's going to be like that sand, and it's going to fall. It's going to collapse. 2 Timothy 2:19, the last one. 2 Timothy 2:19, it says this. But God's solid foundation stands firm. Here's the message written on it. The Lord knows who his own people are. He knows who we are. He knows if you're saved. He knows if you're not. All who say they believe in the Lord must turn away from evil. You hear me? All that say they believe in the Lord must turn away from evil. Those people wanted to kill Gideon because he was tearing down a false god they weren't supposed to be worshiping anyway. There's people in your life that are going to be so mad at you because you correct them when they're wrong. You use the word. They're going to be so mad at you because you're trying to tear down that false idol they got. And you're just trying to help them. There's some of you in here right now, some of you listening right now, that are so mad at me because I used the word and told you what the word said. Joshua stood up one time and he looked at the children of Israel. He said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Either you're going to serve the Lord or you're not. And I believe that's what God's saying. That's what he's going to say in the church. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. I told y'all, the line has been drawn and you can see who is and you can see who ain't by the word. Don't be judging. Judgment is when you send somebody to hell. Judgment is when you pass final judgment. Judgment is not saying if you continue to live this lifestyle, the Bible says that you're going to go to hell for it. That's not judgment. But if I look at you and say, you're doing this, you're going to hell, then I just judge them. Don't judge people. You judge their life and the fruit that they have. I tell people sometimes, we're fruit inspectors. Lay a firm foundation. Whatever it is, whatever it is. And you know, you can't do anything in secret with God. He said, I'll give you the peace. He said, don't be afraid. And he said, I'm going to be with you. You're not going to die. Amen. Y'all stand with me. Tell me you can come. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. How many, you tell.
There we go. I was sitting back there when he first started preaching, and the Lord's been dealing with me the whole service. There's a big pile of rocks right behind the church here. And this morning, we need to tear down the altars that are in our heart to the other gods that he was preaching about. And we need to lay rocks, lay stones on that firm foundation, and we're going to use the floor, and this is going to be the foundation. But if that's you today, if you've got something in your heart, something in your life, it may not even be you. It may be for a loved one. It may be something going on in your life. Let's build that altar this morning. I'm going to ask some of you stronger young men, if you're not a part of the altar call, would you come and help carry a rock for someone that can't? Some of these rocks are heavy. I'm not going to lie. I've carried just about all of them. But we're going to build an altar right here this morning, an altar to the Lord. And just like he drew that line in the sand, this is going to be that line. This is going to be us tearing down the altar in our heart and starting a new one. Because he is good.
Amen.
So let's do it. If you want to come and carry a stone, you follow me. I'm going to go get the first one. If you're strong and you want to help some of these older ladies or whatever carry a stone, you come and help. But I'm going.
Okay. Y'all heard him. So why don't you let me go and you lead him to work? But you know he's got to go. He's going to get a rock. Y'all go get a rock. We'll just go get a rock if you need a rock. And if you just want somebody to bring you a rock in here, we're going to do that. We're good. Hallelujah. Get your rock. Wow. Hallelujah. Hey, make sure if you bring it in, you carry it back out. That's all I ask. Thank you, Jesus. Dylan. Hey, Todd, tell them if they get out there and ain't that many rocks, we'll just come in and touch these. How's that? If there's not enough, I don't know how many's back there, but if there's not, just tell them come in, we'll touch, lay over these, pray over these. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care. I don't know what we're doing. I'm just sitting back here watching God move. Y'all can do what y'all want to do. You got one? I guess if anybody wants to tell what your rock's for, that's totally up to you.
Mine is for my wife and me for a healing. For healing.
For healing. You want to tell what you okay?
Mine is for no more fear. I'm tired of the devil playing with my mind, and I'm tired.
Hallelujah.
My rock's pretty big. I got my grandbabies, my kids, our daughters, and all the pressures that the world's putting on of all of us. Our kids need to be prayed for, our grandkids, because they're coming into this bad world without a start. We got to be there. We got to change this world for them.
Those of you that are just now walking in, if you want to tear what your rock's for, you can.
I left my rock first. I've been sick for almost a year and a half, and I'm giving it right there that God's going to heal me.
Amen.
And I'm going to be back to normal.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I brought my rock for my whole family. My husband has done a 360, and he is going down the wrong path. He has been saved before. He is not anymore. I have three children. One is starting to turn around. She is facing illnesses. I have four grandchildren. Who knows what the world is going to be like when they grow up. And if we as Christians do not teach our grandchildren and our children of how they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to walk in God's favor, what is the world going to come to? And I want prayer. I want to walk in authority. And I'm going to walk in authority. And I am going to get my family into church.
Amen. Amen. If you had a rock and you want to tell what your rock's for, that's fine. They start doing that, and that's good. Noah, hold it up, buddy.
So mine is for my brother to come back for the Lord. He has gone down the wrong path. And he's going out partying and doing all stuff he shouldn't be doing.
Amen.
And that's it.
We're going to pray for him. Amen. Hallelujah.
I laid my rock for fear and just learning how to trust God.
because I say I love him, but I don't trust him.
I brought my rock for my oldest daughter. She needs prayer, and she don't go to church. I love her, but I want her to start. I believe we keep praying for her. She'll start. Thank you.
Amen.
So I tried to pick a big rock because mine represents not being good enough. And that's a lie from the devil, because we are. And I'm a child of God. I'm his daughter, and I am good enough.
Amen.
And I place it down here, and I place it for me, and I place it for my girls.
Amen.
And we are good enough.
Amen.
And God has done wonderful things. I used to ask, why? Why did you bring my husband back to me? Why did you make him such a powerful person for you? Like, why me? Why not somebody else? You know, I know other people that I think are more deserving. But it's because he loves me.
Amen.
And I am good enough.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
First of all, I want to apologize because I didn't do something I was supposed to do before you started preaching. And God convicted me. And I teach y'all's children all the time that when God tells you to do something, you start hearing negative thoughts, you got to take it as a confirmation that you're doing the right thing. And I apologize to this man because I know he knows how I feel. And I apologize to each and every one of the children here because I was a hypocrite a while ago. But I'm going to make it right because it's time to fight. I was sitting in my chair the other night, and I'm seeing all this stuff going about Dr. Seuss. I'm sitting in my chair, and it's like I got so infuriated. And it's like my spirit come out of my body. I was at home alone. It's like my spirit came out of my body and looked me in the face and said, "What are you going to do?" And just like that, I'm like, "Who, me? I'm going to fight. Get out of that chair and fight." And I'm like, "Well, you know I'm going to fight. Get out of the chair and fight." I rose up. And this man and this woman and my wife will tell you right now, when it comes to your children, I will. I'll take a bullet for them. I'll take the beating. I'll take the abuse. I'll take it because when they're under our care back there, I'll do everything within my humanly possible natural being to protect your children. But that so spoke to me when the attack on the Dr. Seuss and the Holy Spirit said, it's not about that. It's not about Dr. Seuss. The attack, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, the attack is on the children. They're teaching them a bunch of perverted stuff. They want to get them from this high. And I'm like, and I tell Candy this thought. This is Holy Spirit, because I'm not smart enough to think like this. And I'll go to my wife, and I'm like, if they can do this with Dr. Seuss, what's the end result? And he just said it, and we ain't even taught. If they can start with the children, then they take a children's book, and they can take and pervert it and do the things they're doing with it. That's not the end game, y'all. The end game is the Bible. If you don't see the attack that's going on in the church, if you don't see the attack that's going on within Christianity, if you don't see the attack on that, you're blind, and you need to be praying that God will release the scales off your eyes so you can see what's going around. I'm going to end with this right here. If this is what I was apologizing for, because this is what I was supposed to have done before he started preaching. All the children, I want all the children to come down here. Come down to this altar. Just come stand right here. All the children. Let me say it like this, because I'm not seeing any of the teenagers move. If you're in school and you're in public school or you're in that age group, come on. Come on, kids. Miss Anita, I need you to come right here. If you are a child and you're in high school, 12th grade and under, you need to be right here. See, don't you walk away. Come here. Well, you think he's got some Bessemer City redneck in him? You getting ready to see some South Gastonia redneck. Christian redneck. Because we getting ready to fight. Miss Anita, we don't even have to talk. Very seldom do we even communicate. But we're in the same fight. We're in the same fight. Same spirit. Kindred spirits and all one accord. Now, as far as who would you say that would be the person as far as the seniors? Your what? Well, no, I know we got a bunch of seniors, but I'm talking about somebody would be just like I'm over the children. Yeah. Man, God's good. See, it's already here. Both ends. Amen, sister. Because once they get up into the teenager stuff, you know, all that stuff that goes on, that's where God gives you that anointing, because I ain't got the patience for it. So here's what we're going to do. Come on in here. Y'all pack in here. Now, Tommy, Pastor Scott, myself, and Miss Anita, we are fighting, and we will continue to fight for your kids. This ain't a cliche to get a reaction right there. I'm telling you, I know this guy. 35 years, at least. We're going to fight for your kids. I know this lady. We're going to fight for your kids. I know this guy. We're going to fight for your kids. What you going to do? I'm calling you out. What you gonna do? You gonna turn your back and you gonna tuck tail and you gonna run? Look what you got to lose. Seriously, y'all turn around and look at them. Not only are we calling you out, these kids are calling you out because they need you. We have your kids for maybe an hour, hour and a half on Sunday. You've got them the other 6 days in 22 and a half hours. Directly or indirectly, in your house, wherever, however. We can do all that we can do for that hour and a half. But if you don't reinforce, if you don't know what we're teaching your kids back in kids' church, if you don't know what Miss Anita's doing with the teenagers and the seniors. If you don't know what's going on with that people, you're basically saying, hey, Satan, I want y'all to look at these kids. Don't look at me right now. Look at these kids. Look at these. You're either going to fight for them, or you going to allow Satan to take them. What you going to do? I'm going to ask you one more time. Y'all know what we're going to do. We're going to fight. Some of you verbalized it a while ago. Actions speak louder than words. Get down here with your kids. Surround them. They need you. The enemy is after them. The enemy wants to kill them. He wants to destroy them. He wants to pervert their minds at the earliest of age. I refuse. It's not going to happen on my watch. It's not going to happen. Fight for your kids. I'm not talking about this, people. I'm talking about this. Get on your knees before God and pray. Two or more that gather and agree in his name and his shall and it will be done. Pray for your kids. Come on. Get in here and pray for your kids. You want to lose them? This is not an emotional cry. This is a spiritual thing that's burning inside of me.
Listen, Gideon was afraid. He did everything at night. I spoke at just a few minutes ago. Some of you are, come on now, some of you are afraid to pray for your children. You're afraid of what somebody's going to think. Who cares what anybody thinks anymore? We're just asking you, lay your hands on your children and pray for them. If you had never done it before, oh, you do it at home, or let them know, hey, I'm listening to Pastor Lindsay and I'm praying for you right now. Everybody just bow your heads. We don't care. Just let's pray for our children. You need to pray for them. You're their covering. We stand with them in agreement or stand with you in agreement. Pray for your kids.
Heed to the call.
Jesus.
They're your children. They are the most prized possession that God will ever bless you with. There's nothing greater. I'm seeing kids standing up here. They're not. Where's your parents at? Come on. We're not asking you to pray out loud or anything. Just like Pastor Scott said, just come up, lay your hands on them. Just get together with them and pray. They need you, y'all. These kids need you. They adore you. They need you now more than they need you anyway, but they need you. They are under such an attack. They are under such an attack. They need you. They're crying out for you. These are all of God's children. And even some of you that stand around, we're all one big family here. They shouldn't, no child be standing here that's not being prayed for. Yeah, somebody come pray with them. Come on. Come on. Senior. Hey, listen. Seniors, we need you. We need you to be an influence on these kids. We got to build a bridge between every generation. And what better way to start it as far as today to have some of the seniors get out of your seats and come forward and pray for these kids? Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a day and a day soon. We're already teaching the kids to do this. But see, if you notice, me and Miss Candy and Holly and Mr. Tim, we don't go to the children and say, hey, go pray. You know what we teach them? The Holy Spirit leads you to go pray for somebody, you go pray for them. And eventually, some of y'all are going to be down here at the altar, and God's going to call your child to pray for you. God's going to call for children to pray for you. But it's not about just the children or anything. It's all about the prayer. And so if we want to build this gap between generations, what better way to build it? What better way to build it than to pray for one another? Than to pray for one another. Will you do that? We are in a fight for not just their life, but where these children will spend eternity. If that don't grasp your heart, I don't know anything else I can say or do other than to be assured that this staff at this church, if I missed anybody, I apologize, but the staff at this church and the members of this church, we will pray and we will walk through fire for your children.
You know, one of the reasons that we're in this mess is because of the sins of our forefathers. And I say the sins of our forefathers because we have had men and women in church that have not stood up. They've not stood up. And in Zechariah chapter 1, it talks about this. And it, again, it is Zechariah. And it says, "Therefore say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets cried out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my word and my statutes, which I command my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts proposed to deal with us, for our ways and deeds has dealt with us." That's Zechariah in Zechariah chapter 1. And it's because we are having to deal, just like they did, with the things that our forefathers in the church did not stand up against. But parents, church members, we are the first form of defense for these kids. We are the first dome of protection. And if we do not stand up for them, if you do not get bravery in your belly and stand up against the school system or whoever else is coming, and you do not let your voice be heard, you are to blame for what happens to your kids. You are to blame because you are their first form of defense. You are who God has put in them. You know, Lindsay says this as far as us working with them. We love your kids like their own. They're our own. And I saw a thing on Facebook where it was this huge tower of there was orange balls in it. And it represents the hours that you are with your children. And then it had this little container, 46 balls in it, which represents the time we get with your kids. I'm going to post it. Find my Facebook page and see. Did you? Okay. I wasn't on Facebook much last week. But that is such a powerful visual. But it goes on to say in Zechariah 3, because these people said, no more. We're not going to continue in that path. There's a stop to it. And we are going to build the church, and we are going to build our families in the way that God says to. And he says that he, within this time frame, that he built a firm foundation. A firm foundation. Go read it in chapter 3. And he says that he gave Zerubbabel the plumb line to build it straight and to build it right. That verticalness that we need between us and God. And that is what he is calling us to. And it starts in our families. It starts in our church. And it starts with us standing for what we know is right. And it starts with us fighting for what is ours.
Amen. I want to pray over you, okay? I want to pray for boldness. I want to pray for strength. And I want to pray that you be courageous. Father, in Jesus' name. please move by your Spirit on us. Lord, you looked at Gideon, you said, "Hail, Gideon, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon was hiding. Lord, you taught us that we're redoubtable, that we're mighty warriors, Lord, that we're one to be greatly feared, is what you said, because we have your Spirit inside of us. So, Lord, I pray for a righteous boldness to come on our people. God, that they would righteously stand for their children. Just like they, no parent here or grandparent here will let anybody attack their children. But God, Satan is attacking. He's using other ways. So help us to be, as I said earlier, help us to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. God, use these families right here. God, use them to be an example of how we're to stand for our children. We've said it and we said it and we said it. Standing in a fighting position. When we stand, we're in a fighting position spiritually on our knees praying that you would help us, lead, guide, and direct us in all truth, what you said you would do. Lord, this may be the first time some of the parents have prayed for their children. I pray that you'd help them, Lord. Help us to pray for our children, Lord. Help us to cover them. It's not Pastor Lindsay and Anita's and Tommy's job. It's not my job, Lord. Yes, as pastors, we do these things, but you've entrusted these parents with these children, these grandparents with these children, and those that are at home. Some should be here. You've entrusted them, Lord. So give them the courage and strength to stand and to do on this firm foundation, Jesus Christ, the rock. God, please, move by your Spirit. Bless our children. Protect them. It's kind of like they're wolves being sent out. I mean, they're sheep being sent out to the wolves, Lord. God, please touch them. Touch the teachers that are having to deal with this stuff. Touch administration that's having to deal with this stuff. Lord, help them to have backbone. Help our mayor to have a backbone. Help our city council and all these people that are in leadership to have a backbone. Help our Congress and our Senate and our House and the President, Lord. Change their hearts if they're not right. That we'll stop this foolishness, Lord. We trust you. I know it looks bigger. It looks so much bigger than what we can even do. But God, if we just change our little area, if we stand in our little area, make disciples and other people stand in their area, Lord, it'll move. But we give you praise for it. We thank you for blessing our children, Lord. This altar right here that we've made, we're going to leave it here, Lord, because we're going to remember this day. We're going to leave it here for a while. We're going to remember this day. God, that we build an altar today and we say no more. We draw a line in the sand. We build this altar. We say no more. God, we're going to fight. And I know you're going to help us and teach us. And I know it's not going to be fun. But Lord, I've known ever since you've called me that I was going to be in a fight, and I'm good with it. I want some people to fight with me. We love you and we give you praise, Lord. Seal this word. Seal what we've done today. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Y'all, stand still. I told y'all, remember, that God's just looking for one person to be obedient. I wasn't going to do what Tommy did. Because of what him being obedient, look at what God did. All right. Love y'all. See you Wednesday night. We had a great crowd Wednesday night. We got a good word for Wednesday night. So come and let's have a great time. Hang on. Turn him on here. Hang on 1 second.
The whole time.
Hang on.
God was all up.
Hang on. I got you. You're good. I turned it on. No, it's on mute. There you go. You got it.
The whole time I was up here, God was, y'all were talking about the parents being warriors. We need to be warriors. We need to stand up for ourselves. Now, are y'all going to stand up with us, or are y'all going to sit back and watch us fight? Get up and fight with us. We need to fight for ourselves. We need to fight for what's right. We don't need to sit back and watch everything that's corrupt in this world happen. We need to stand up and fight for ourselves. God has been all over me since I came up here. We need to fight for what's right. I'm done with everything that's happening in this world. I'm done. I'm done seeing all the corruption. I'm done seeing all the perversion that's happening in this world. We need to fight for ourselves. We need to stand up, and we need to fight.
Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. All right. God bless you. Love you with all my heart. See you Wednesday.